Hello, friend. I am so excited that you're here with me today. And you know, I don't know if I've said this at all or if I say it enough, but I want you to know that I am still on the journey with you. Sure, I may be one step ahead in that, you know, I've cut off contact, I'm working to restore my marriage and all the things, but I am still actively on the journey with you. Of digging in, of asking the really hard questions, of creating, you know, a new life. Scripture talks about the new life has come and the old has passed away. And that is a daily decision, sometimes a moment by moment one, to continue to take steps forward. So it's in that light that I want to share some things with you today. Not about specific boundaries, but kind of from a 30,000 foot view, why I don't love the word boundaries or rules, but how I reframed my thinking and how I think it's really beneficial for growth instead of just survival.
Hey mama, welcome to Intimacy After Infidelity. Do you find yourself Googling, can a marriage survive infidelity? Or what's the first step to divorce? Do you wake up full of hope, only to end the day with more shame when there's another stupid argument again? Hey, I'm Christina Joy, forgiven daughter of Jesus. I too felt the shame of infidelity and wished someone had a roadmap for how to get out of the mess so I could experience freedom. I kept telling myself I just needed to try harder to end the affair and fix my marriage, until I found I needed Jesus to heal some deep wounds in my heart. Through prayer, lots of research, and developing new healthy habits, I was able to find healing to shed my shame once and for all. Now I'm excited to share everything I've learned with you. So find your safe space and pop in that earbud. Let's rebuild your life and marriage better than it's ever been.
Hey sister, I just want to take a second and ask, do you find yourself in a safe and healthy community? And it could, right now in this season, it could only be one person. But are you with maybe a counselor or therapist that you trust? Or are you with a group of sisters who understand and get it and who are willing to walk this journey of healing and accountability with you? I have found that it is so important to always, obviously, number one, keep Jesus first. You have your Bible open, you have your journal open, you're sitting with yourself and walking with Holy Spirit through this healing journey. But also, it's equally as important to have a community of women who can pour into you, who can speak truth, who can maybe say things just in a different way that cause you to think differently. So friend, if you are looking for that community, join us in the Facebook group because that's what we have there. It's a safe place where we can come and get encouragement and feedback and motivation. But sister, if you need someone specific, one individual to talk with, please know that you can reach out to me anytime. Send me a message, send me an email, and I would love to dig deeper into your story. And maybe find what is your next right step. So I have a kind of 3 points today, and I want you to keep in mind a picture. It's springtime, right? So keep a picture of two flowers. One flower that is growing and beautiful and blossoming. Maybe it produces fruit like a large tree. But then also keep in mind, keep a mental picture of another flower that may be wilting and drooping down and is not barely surviving. It is not thriving. So keep those pictures in your mind. Okay, so 3 points. The first one is that I was praying one day and I said, you know, I was pouring my heart out and just said, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I need you in my life right now. I am so tired of these old patterns or old habits popping back up. This temptation to go back to the old lifestyle. These temptations are popping up, and sometimes they pop up with a new name. Like maybe it's a new type of addiction, but it's the same MO. You know, meaning that it's the same addiction, it's the same draw that I feel to rely on, on something other than Jesus. And so I wrote this, I was journaling, and I wrote this M.O., and I thought, I'm curious more about what that means. And so it comes from the Latin, modus operandi, and it means the mode of operating. It's a pattern or a manner of working that is usually associated with someone. So you'll often hear about this with a criminal, and the criminal has a mode of operating. They always do things the same way. So this is like a method of operation. And obviously not a criminal here. In Jesus' eyes, yes, there's sin, but I'm not legally a criminal here. But I thought, wow, how similar to us as people that we tend to do the same things, or we tend to fall into the same types of patterns and habits. This is what I was praying about. And so I got really curious about this word operation, because it reminded me of something my pastor had preached once, where he said that Jesus is not just an add-on or like an app on your phone. You know, an app on your phone, you can open it or close it, you can uninstall it or reinstall it when you need it, but that's not Jesus. And my pastor said, we need to live like Jesus is the whole operating system. You know, so phones, it's usually either an Android or an iPhone. You pick your operating system. And so, man, I thought, Jesus, that's so good right now. Yes, I want your MO. Jesus, I want your method of operating. I don't just want to pick and choose certain things. I want my life to actually operate out of what you have said. And so, okay, what does that mean? And the word that popped into my mind was like boundaries and rules. And my immediate response was, ugh, boundaries and rules. Oh, I don't like that word. That doesn't feel good. That's not motivating to me. That doesn't make me want to choose right and choose good. And I think that it's in the perspective, because I'm not just trying to constantly put up these fences or these roadblocks to say, hey, you have to stay on the straight and narrow and you can't cross this line. That feels so rigid. But what I've been learning about God this year is that He is a God of delight, and He wants us to smile and have fun and be happy, not just in this kind of straitjacket, just doing what we have to do. We're not robots with no emotions. And so I started realizing that it's kind of the question of, am I in a failure to thrive because of like lack of nutrition, or am I going to have success in thriving because I have the right conditions for growth? So this is where that mental image of a plant or a flower comes in. A flower doesn't try to grow in the dark with no water. You know, a flower is going to be in the right conditions. It seeks out strong roots and a strong stem, and it seeks out light wherever it can get it, and water and nutrients. Why? Because the flower wants to produce. It was created to produce fruit and blossoms. So again, this analogy between a plant and you, are you focused on just barely surviving, you know, like the droopy, wilting flower? Or are you giving yourself permission? Again, are you giving yourself permission to thrive? Are you getting the nutrients and the things that you need so that you can learn what it's like to live as your healthy self, and you're taking the best care of a healthy you? And this looks like creating margin. And if you're not familiar with that, margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion. It's the gap between breathing freely and suffocating. Margin is the opposite of overload and overwhelm. Man, having margin refreshes me. Again, it helps me breathe freely. And it helps me recognize the space between my load, what I have to carry every day, and my limits so that I'm not tapped out all the time. Now, back to this plant, water for a plant is good, but not too much or it'll drown. So again, margin, what's the space between just enough and too much? Or think about a plant that maybe on the tag it says, this plant, you know, needs partial shade. Well, what's going to happen if you leave it in the sun, you know, direct sunlight all day long? Well, that's too much and that's not healthy for it either. So we do need kind of a structure. And I thought, you know what, structure is a much more comfortable word for me than just boundaries and rules that I have to follow. But I have a structure to follow that helps me know where's my margin, what do I need, but keep it within limits. There's another word with plants that I find helpful, and that's a trellis. When you think of, you know, a grape or a vine or ivy of some sort, it has a structure and a framework that it can grow up around. It's called a trellis. It's a support. So again, I'm asking myself, just like a plant, I'm a little flower that needs tending to. But all of these questions are focused on how can I have success to thrive? What will help me enjoy God and the world He has given me? And then you can ask yourself questions like, who or what gives me energy and refreshment? So what are some things that I need to take care of a healthy me and to live in this new life that I have because of Christ? Okay, the opposite of this, think of the plant that's struggling. What are the weeds that are growing up in the dirt around the plant and choking it out or making it difficult for the roots to get the nutrients? What are the weeds in your life? What are the deer that sometimes eat the flowers? I had this growing up. My parents would plant flowers in our yard every year, and we had to be careful because we had wild deer walk through our yard and eat the flowers. And so we had to learn ways to protect against that. But what are some quote unquote deer that are in your life that are threatening to eat the flower, just to take it away? There's a verse in John that says the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy even your precious flower of your life. Another question, what things ask for too much of your time? Are you constantly hurried, constantly on the go, that you don't even have time to sit down and reflect and sit down and have time with Jesus? Are there things that leave you emotionally drained? Again, it could be a person or a situation that you're in. What are some things that distract you from God? Maybe they're causing shade over your life when you need direct sunlight. What depletes your energy? What chokes out the plant? What produces bad fruit? If you have bad soil, you're going to have bad fruit or bad blossoms on that tree. So, friend, I hope that paints a picture in your mind that is just kind of a mirror image of your life. To say, God, I want my life to operate from you, not just an add-on like a buffet. You know, I want some of this, some of this, some of this. But number one, that the mode of operating, the MO, is the way that Jesus lived his life. And then from there, what are the structures and the supports that will help me to thrive? And wouldn't you know, in my Bible reading for the day, I was also in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus gives the parable of the seeds that fell in different situations. And I said, Lord Jesus, I'm listening. Thank you for leading me to this passage. So even just a quick reminder of that there were some seeds that fell on the sidewalk. And the devil came and, you know, took those seeds away. That the person who represents the seed just on the sidewalk, there were no roots that grew in their heart. They heard the word of God and there were no roots. But there were other seeds that fell on the rocky soil. And they heard the message, they received it with joy, but in rocky soil, the seed could not create a deep root. And so the person believed for a while and then fell away. Then there were seeds that fell among thorns, so the roots went a little bit deeper. The person heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, but then the message was crowded out. It was choked out by thorns, like the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so in all those situations, the plant did not have success in thriving. It was failure to thrive because it didn't get what it needed. But finally, there was seed that fell on good, rich soil. And the people heard God's word, and it says they clung to it and patiently produced a huge harvest. So God, I pray over the listeners today that your words would sink deep, that they would have deep roots, and that we would be patient. Lord, you know, I struggle with the patience. I want to be healed today, and I want the instant, and I don't want to struggle anymore. But God, you ask us to have patience, and then there will be a huge harvest. And it's for your glory, God, for your name that we want to make big, your name that we want to magnify through our lives and our stories. So God, give us the trellis, give us the support, give us the structure that we need so that we can live in this new life that you have given us. The old has gone away and the new has come. And today we choose to live in that newness. God, help us, just like the plants, to thrive.
Hey mama, I hope today's episode encouraged your heart. If you need to talk about this some more, would you send me a message at christinajoycoaching.com? Also, please take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It thrills my heart to know this podcast is helping you heal your heart so you can shed the shame of your affair. I am cheering for you, and I can't wait to hear your story. I'll meet you back here on Tuesdays and Thursdays for another episode. As always, be clothed with strength and dignity, and laugh without fear of the future.